Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, hey.
And just like that.
And just like
we're
that.
Back.
We're back in Salt Lake City.
Land of a thousand mountains.
Land of a thousand
God's
mountains.
Country.
The country. The promised land. But no, Utah is truly one of the prettiest states.
It's gorgeous there. We love Utah. We love to see it. We love to see it. We love to experience it.
Someday I would love to do a SUP live show in Salt Lake City.
Oh my God. Please.
Do we have?
In like 2022, please, it's 2022. Fucking popping the fuck off.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like
it just keeps
ready,
getting pushed back, I feel.
But
like.
I think it's going to happen. I would love to go to Salt Lake SLC and do a SUP show and see what that experience is like.
I'm in. I'm like, once we've put all this behind us, like, I'm fleeing and we'll be embarking on, like, a world tour of some sort.
In Boston.
Even if it's just, like, me setting up a mic on the corner of, like, a street. Like, I'm just, like, I'm ready to take the stage.
On the corner of Market and Chestnut. Just Laura just doing like a full stand-up show on the corner of a busy street corner with a little
no,
box.
I actually like don't think I could do that.
I think you
much
could.
Respect for the people that can engage in that way, but I like a stage. I like the audience.
There was
like
a web series
down in the spotlight.
Yeah, sound cues. There was a web series where it was comedians just doing stand-up. Like they would walk into like a restaurant and just start doing stand-up. Like Kate Berlant did one, and it was fucking incredible. Like they just like.
I'll bet.
By the way, her podcast with Jacqueline Novak is so funny. Poog.
Oh, I need to listen.
It's like kind of a satirical. It's like just their takes on like wellness and health, like goopy stuff, and it's really amazing. I've only listened to a few, but they're so funny.
Okay, I'm gonna listen.
You
to that.
Would love it, Laura.
I would love it. I know I would. I just didn't even realize that it was like out yet. I listened to actually like a pretty good podcast. I think that it's like a big one, the Hollywood Con Queen.
Oh,
it's called Chameleon, about the Hollywood Con Queen.
Karen Kilgariff was recommending that.
It's good.
On My Favorite Murder, I heard it's amazing.
Hey, yeah. Goes deep into this like con artist that was targeting like lower level people working in the entertainment industry and would like lure them out to Jakarta and then shake them down for like a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah, and you would have to like fly yourself to like these places, right?
Yeah, they'd tell you like they'd pose as like a powerful producer, usually a female, and then hire you to do a job on their set and be like, oh, you have to fly yourself to Jakarta, but we'll reimburse you. Mm-hmm. Then once you're there, they have a driver pick you up every day and like take you around. But the driver, I think you're paying the driver for stuff and like they just take your money. And then eventually you get weirded out and you're like, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm. I've gotta get out of here.
I gotta get out of here.
They
just have done that to like hundreds of people.
Damn. Why?
And they really like break it all down and like get deep into the scam. It was good.
Which also shows you just how like disconnected Hollywood is in a lot of ways. Like people don't, even if that's happening consecutively, like you, not everyone would hear about that. So like you, it, you know what I mean? Like it's so word of mouth, a lot of that stuff, I feel like. So it's like word gets lost, and like there's so many people like that. So it's hard to tell which ones are which.
Totally. One person that was like targeted by the con queen ended up finding out that it was a scam, like while she was in the car with the driver in Jakarta, like saw some other girl's Instagram post where she was like telling her scam story, and then was like, fuck.
I love like acting coach in Hollywood, like looking at their YouTube videos and whatnot. There's this one woman, I forget her name, someone posted about her and I was just like so fascinated. I don't think it's a scam, but it just seems like a little like, you know, like the nitty gritty of Hollywood.
Have scammy vibes. Well,
but what she does is it's like someone that coaches actors on how to like cold call like agencies to represent them, and like how to navigate like representation. Mm-hmm. And her videos are iconic.
What does she say? Does that work? I think you're really
like a, not she's like a co- she's
that.
Kind of like an accountability coach in quotes. Like she'll like keep you, she'll like manage you, how you are trying to like handle your reps or like get representation, and like calling, if you have them, like calling them a few times a week to like keep your, and she'll like call you and be like, did you do that yet?
Fuck, I'm like, I actually need to look at
I mean,
I'm like, who would use this? I'm like,
well,
literally.
As we know from like Teddy Mellencamp, isn't her whole thing kind of a racket? Like that kind of thing is a little, I think, accountability.
Her thing was stuff. Very like DOS adjacent in that she's like, eat one lettuce wrap.
What's
she's
she gonna
like,
do?
Exist on 500 calories. I don't know. Fade into the background where you belong, because you
Kathy's
brought
here.
Nothing. You literally brought nothing to the table on Real Housewives, which I got low-key reader mail through the Patreon, patreon.com, Sexy Unique Podcast.
$5 a month.
This season that's filming of Housewives of Beverly Hills is fucking lit. And that Hilton is an insane cast addition.
Hell
and
yeah.
It's like on fucking fire.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck
we're,
yeah.
We're doing
I'm
this.
Ready. We're doing this. We're in this.
Kathy Hilton.
We gather, we ride. Kathy
is a dark, dark warlock.
For those of you that need a Kathy Hilton fix prior to Housewives of Beverly Hills moment, you should immediately, if not sooner, watch the Paris Hilton reality show.
You told me to watch this a million times.
Yeah, it's so good. The World According to Paris. It was one season. It was on Oxygen Network. I believe you can probably buy it on iTunes, but I think also the whole thing's uploaded on like Dailymotion. It is one of the darkest one season reality TV shows I've ever watched.
Kathy Hilton is a menacing presence, and I cannot wait to... I feel like it seems like she and Kyle are good, though. She posted a photo and she was like, I love my baby sister, Kyle, and we're recovering from COVID together. And she like posted a picture of them like going like, so I think
love that.
I hope they're a united front, but I also want
Even
her,
when
I do want her
are
to
a united front. That's bad news for other people,
but it's also going to, and you know, she's going to like terrorize and like constantly nag Kyle.
Yeah. I'm excited to see like, cause is Kyle younger? She's younger than Kim, right?
She's the youngest, Kyle.
She's the youngest, but she has power over Kim.
Well, yeah, I think she was sort of Kim's caretaker, that she maybe kind of abused that role a little, I think.
But does Kathy have power over Kyle?
Kathy, yeah. Kathy is the, okay. She is the, like, she's Helena Marcos.
She's the Marcos of the group.
She's,
okay, so
she
it'll be
is
nice
she.
To see Kyle...
Get put in her place a little.
Get that treatment, the Kim treatment from Kathy.
No, like, Kyle, here's the dynamic. Like I here's what I think. Sorry, I didn't mean to, because I'm just,
no,
I
fine.
Know, I feel like I get this.
You're excited.
So
you have shit to say.
I got
shit
to say. I got things to say. Kathy, I think is the she's the power in the family. I think, especially growing up when they were younger, I think because she and Rick were so wealthy and they were like the status family. And I think now that Kyle and Mauricio are sort of elevated, it's not as the area is a little grayer. But I think Kathy was always the big sister. She was, I think she was like a teenager when they were born. So she's like much mm-hmm. older, or like a tween or something. So she's much older. And I think Kyle and Kim have vied for her favorite position. This is just, this is my theory, but it's from what I've seen and what I've could gleaned from all this. But she, I think they've like vied to be her favorite. And I think Kim became Kathy's, like, Kim kind of became Kathy's way to use against Kyle. Because remember, they had a falling out a few years ago when Kyle sold that TV show about their mom. Kathy was mm-hmm. not happy because she was like, you're exploiting our family, like blah, blah, blah. And she and Kim didn't speak to Kyle because they were angry with her, because they felt like Kyle like went behind their backs and like sold the story to their family. So they didn't speak to her. And I think Kathy and Kim ganged up on Kyle and like reunited front and made Kyle feel alienated.
Okay.
And I think as Kyle started getting more famous than Kathy, she was threatened by that.
Totally.
So she would use Kim against Kyle because Kim's...
Yeah, because you know, that was an easy yeah, ally Kim's an to easy, have so, against
So Kyle. I think there's been a complicated sister struggle. And if you remember, there was that one episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where Francesca... Who's the oldest daughter? Kyle's first kid.
I don't know. I get them all confused.
I don't know her name. The girl that she had when she was like
with
really young.
Pre-Mauricio.
Yeah. And she was graduating college and the Hiltons didn't make it. Remember? And they sent flowers and they were like, mm-hmm. they were calling. They're like, we're in St. Bart's. We love you. And Kyle was really upset.
Yeah.
And then when Nikki Hilton married the Rothschild guy, they didn't invite Kyle's kids to the wedding. Only the older one, who's like friends with.
Whoa!
They didn't snubbed. Invite like Portia or anyone.
Snubbing Portia yet again.
So Kyle, I think that was they were kind of upset about that.
Interesting. The plot thickens.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see
it play out. I'm excited to watch a good season of Housewives.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
This. I have to
Wait,
say
that, can I also, that reminds me of like a recommendation that I want to make that I've been watching. I'm like probably halfway through the episodes, but I'm finding it to be very enjoyable,
mm-hmm.
is the show on HBO Max called House of Ho. And it's a reality show about a Vietnamese family that the parents moved to America in the 70s and then got insanely wealthy, and they live in Houston. It's about them and all their kids who have also like procreated, and it's a reality show
on HBO
Max.
Oh, I'm gonna watch.
And I highly recommend it. They are pretty wild. They're incredibly wealthy, and every child that this couple had is named after a U.S. president.
Like what?
So their names are like Lincoln, McKinley, Jackson, like all of them, except for one of their daughters, they named her Judy. But even their kid, even their grandchildren, their kids named all their grandchildren after presidents too.
Wow.
So they're just like obsessed with presidents.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch it.
It's good. It has some moments where you're like, okay, this feels like produced or like kind of like The Hills-esque, because it's like very richly shot,
right.
Hills-like. But then there's also like genuine drama that's being brought to the table.
Yeah.
And everyone, it really helps me at least when everyone's really wealthy. So they just drive cars and live in like mansions and stuff.
I'm going to watch.
So it has that. It also has that Selling Sunset shininess to it that I crave. I recommend it. I'm like maybe 3-4 episodes in or something, but I'm vibing.
Okay, I'm gonna watch. In reality TV news, the very first like momager of reality TV, Pat Loud, who was from the Loud family, who was, they were the first in the 70s, they were that family that was like the first reality show where they followed.
Yeah.
That American, I think they were in California and the parents split up on camera and like it was watched.
The
was
Diane like, Lane like played.
Yeah, Tim Robbins. It was
in
called
the biopic.
Cinema Verite.
Mm-hmm.
Verite? Sorry.
Verite.
She just passed away. So she was like the original Kris Jenner.
R.I.P.
That's a, you guys should read about that. If you don't know about the Loud family, they were, it's like a really wild story. Like they were from Santa Barbara and it's just like, there was like, they were the first reality show like ever. And like of an average family.
Their lives.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, there was a bunch of kids and they were kind of well off, but like it was a dysfunctional family and it was just wild. So you should rewatch that movie with Diane Lane. Or, and then the son, Lance, who was gay, he was like a fixture in New York and like lived at the Chelsea Hotel and was like a writer and photographer and like really cool.
Chic.
So you should read about him too. But yeah, I was sad to see that.
Oh.
She was like
gone, but never forgotten.
She was old, so it was, I don't think it was like sudden.
Renegade, trendsetter, momager.
Pat Loud.
Pat Loud.
Speaking of Loud, guys, it's Carrie, by the way.
And Lara, FYI. And you're listening to Sexy,
Unique
podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. Compelling episode.
Compelling, or are you being sarcastic, or
kind of?
Yeah, same. This episode sucked.
Flop ass episode.
Yeah, this is the I love that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is in their flop era.
The first season, Southgate. It's kind of iconic.
It's iconically floptastic.
To flop in the first season is just like amazing.
Yeah, to flop this hard, it is true belly flop.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just go into kind of like a semi-catatonic state when I'm watching this show. Like,
yeah.
It's like I watch it, but like I do something with my eyes. You know how you can like make your eyesight blurry?
Mm-hmm.
I just like do that and then kind of like half listen and just go into an altered state of being.
Speaking of flops, can I suggest a column on W Magazine called My Flop Era?
Oh, and yeah.
It's Heron Walker, who's this incredible writer for like Jezebel and other outlets. It's worth a read. It's so funny and good.
It's good, yeah.
Just about like what it is to be in your flop era, which I feel like I'm kind of in.
We've all had a flop era.
Maybe I'm coming out of it.
I think you're absolutely coming out of your flop era.
I was in one, though.
I mean, been there.
But yeah,
I feel like I've been in a writing flop era.
Oh yeah.
But a podcasting boom era.
You're in a renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
So these flop queens, are reeling
salty
from
flop queens,
salty flop, flopta queens, salty flopta,
salty floppers,
flopta. So they're reeling. Everyone's reeling from the carnage at Sharif's birthday party, where Jen threw a highball glass. And like,
is it me or is this episode just people like telling other people how they feel about the party?
It's all expository.
Yeah, like I would say, venture to guesstimate that 35 minutes was just like wives telling husbands about Jen throwing a glass.
They're also keeping Mary away from them.
Why the
are they
separation?
Isolating her? Did they film all Mary's stuff in like one day where she's just in her closet, in her room with clothes?
Did they film all of Mary? Like, so on the bonus episode, thankfully a reader did the research we needed them to do and like set us straight on the timeline, and it turns out the show parts of it were filmed in 2019, 2020. But like, did they film Mary's stuff like ages ago? How involved is she?
Yeah.
Whitney is like a psyop or something. Like, Whitney is, I don't trust her. I think she's totally AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Whitney, this episode was a lot of Whitney.
Mm-hmm. Too much Whitney, too much little Whitney. Diane Warren. Where's Diane?
I know, she's getting better.
Is she?
I hope. Not enough of Heather's zombie ex-husband.
No. Her Warren Jeff's ass ex-husband.
So we cut open to Meredith is in bed hungover with her little... I'm also Meredith and Seth. It seems so fake.
Yeah, I'm like, congrats to you guys. Like, you're barely trying to act. But I guess you're pulling it off.
Meredith, Seth comes in with a coffee and a flower, a huge rose for Meredith. And he says, when I leave here today, I want you to look at that flower when I leave to remember that we fully blossomed. And I went, gross.
Sick.
Keep that to yourself. Ew. Get a room.
You guys, they don't even have like sexual chemistry with each other. No. They have negative chemistry. And I'm like, okay, what did you guys do that's so groundbreaking? Like, you split up and didn't see each other for 3 days and then got back together and you're acting like you just...
We have something to announce. Can I also just say that Meredith is tranquilized?
She's on pills, right?
And that dinner scene with Lisa and her husband, whose name? John Barlow. John,
I think, yeah.
Meredith is... Her eyes, she can barely open her eyes. Seth looks fucked up, too. Like, are they just, like, tranked? Like, what the fuck is going on with her?
Are they on oxy?
She's fully... her eyes are... She's like, I have something important to tell you. And Lisa's like, what? Are you pregnant? And she goes, Seth and I are... living in the same house once again. And I'm like, damn, you are fucked.
You're fucked up right now.
Get sober. Sober up and then come back to the dinner table. Eat some bread.
Yeah, she had nod off energy. That was in my notes. I was like, she's like on pills.
She's like, she's
a crippling pill addiction.
We are, in fact, under the same roof.
No, she was like, we did it.
We did it. I'm like, what did you do?
You had 4 conversations.
But like, we need to... Something has to be addressed.
Yeah. There's an elephant in the room.
Lisa makes her son, Henry, sage her, which I wrote... That's a lot of responsibility to put on a kid.
Yeah, like, I would not give a child... place like a burning object in my child's tiny hands and trust him that
but
he
to
could,
sage,
like, do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heather's checking in with her crew at Beauty Lab and she kind of flirts with the guy that works there, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, they have like hot chemistry.
I'm here for Heather and like a much younger man.
He had good muscles. He was like probably like 25 and just like, hey.
Heather should date an 18-year-old. Next season should be all about like the awkwardness of Heather's hot 18-year-old boyfriend. And everyone should be like, whoa, like, I know it's legal, but we're supremely weirded out by this. Like, your boyfriend... is 18 and Heather, and he's really hot, but he's also like 18 years old.
Yeah,
that would be an incredible twist in the narrative. Just, like,
deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, everyone, like, he can't drink, so like she brings him to like functions and he like can't legally drink. So, and like that could cause a lot of drama with Lisa Barlow because like she's not like, as the owner of several liquor
companies, I will not be
like,
selling.
I don't feel comfortable if he is drinking alcohol at my events. It's not amazing. And like,
this is not amazing,
I just, like,
Heather.
See that for them. Mm-hmm. And Heather's like glowing. She's like just dick down having the best sex of her life. he's breathed all new fresh air into that puss, and she's just like living it up.
Oh my god. Season two.
So that's my pitch for season two, how to get out of your flop era.
Mm-hmm.
If you even make it to season two.
I can Jen's just feel, chalet. I can feel Jen's hangover.
Yeah. I wrote, she's having a depression day. When you're in a clutch position where you have to like clutch your robe together and kind of like you conduct all your business just like leaning over and like making the bed so you don't, and like the I was just like, you've got to just get into bed. Also, I was so jealous of her bedroom having a fireplace in it. That's also all I fucking want.
Her blankets looked, and all her pillows, incredible.
Her bed looked yeah, like a fluffy cloud-like bed with at least six pillows and a fireplace in your bedroom. You've made it. There's no reason to leave.
But she's not happy because Sharif isn't speaking to her because he's upset about how she ended the party. Also, the room, she's like, you hear her go, it's so cold in here.
Yeah, she's shivering.
And I wrote, Pazuzu is occupying that room, like in The Exorcist. It's like freezing. It's like when you walked into Reagan's room and you could see her breath.
No fire will warm those chilly bones.
She-Hulk.
Jen, it also, I believe that it, like, she expended so much energy. She's probably sore from, like, hulking out so hard.
I know. Heather and Whitney chit-chat at Beauty Lab and about like the drama, and Whitney just goes, I did nothing wrong.
Yeah, and then Heather goes, you did nothing wrong. And I was like, you actually did do everything wrong, Whitney.
I think Heather needs to go to CODA.
Yeah, I think that she's supporting the wrong aspects of Whitney in this moment, and I don't buy her innocent act. Like, I was just trying to be a good friend. Like, no,
she was
trying to start shit. And a friend, like, you know better than to, you don't start drama with a friend at their event for their
husband.
Like, that's also not the place.
Also, like, yeah, she's playing dumb and it's like, you knew what you were doing.
You knew exactly what you were doing.
But Heather's very much like, I think Heather has a lot of insecurity about like speaking her mind because of like mm-hmm. how she was raised. And I think anyone she's with, she'll like agree with kind of.
Yeah.
And like, and then she swallows what she really wants to say. And then she probably like quietly like resents the person. Like as we see later when she sort of snaps.
That tracks.
But they do say one thing that I agree with is that Jen, they're actually, at least, especially Heather, are like Jen's true friends. And she's mm-hmm. like thirsting for validation from Meredith and Lisa while she has these like great supportive friends already. And it's like, and I was kind of thinking that like Heather's your best friend. Like Heather's there. Like she's trying to calm you down. She's supporting you. Like you're not giving her, like you're not seeing that. And you're like chasing Meredith and Lisa because of who they are, and like they're kind of maybe more accepted in the social circle. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm like, lean on Heather. Heather seems like a great friend. She's fun. She's open-minded and like loyal. Whitney, I don't trust her for a hot second.
I don't either.
You gotta drop Whitney.
I've changed.
Just like a friend. I'd say keep her on the show because clearly she'll do like whatever it takes. But I also am like, get her away from me.
Yeah, I don't trust her either.
Meredith
and Seth have a little... Meredith is still just lounging. I wrote... Okay, and hear me out. I would love to see Meredith and Seth reenact the bedroom conversation from Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
Where Nicole Kidman's that like scene. Stoned. Yeah. If you men only knew. Like that.
That would be great.
I want to mm-hmm. see it.
I think that would bring their sexual energy up to where it needs to be for me to buy that they're actually getting back together.
Her talking about like, I would have left everything for one night. Remember?
Mm-hmm. I need to rewatch Eyes Wide Shut.
So good.
It's been a couple years and it's a good revisit. I need to get back into a place of Kubrick, because I was really in a revisiting Stanley Kubrick moment. And I watched Barry Lyndon over quarantine, which is one of the best movies I've ever seen. And then I Kubricked so hard that I eventually led myself to Vivian, and then de-Kubricked from that. And then now I'm ready to go back and Kubrick again.
Yeah, he's that also just like, what a megawatt situation to have Nicole and Tom Cruise in the same playing a married couple.
Yeah, and remember, it was like they're sexy in it. Like, she was showing boobs and like, or at least like nips through the camisole.
I don't care. Like, I mean, he might be bi or like into guys too, but I think they really loved it. I think they really loved each other and were like hot for each other.
Yeah, I believe their love was real.
Because they were...
They're a power couple.
Their chemistry in that movie was crazy.
It's crazy. I think if you can like get... I don't know if you can drum up chemistry with Tom these days. He seems really intense, but and like a lot on his mind. But he's literally carrying the entire film industry on his shoulders. But I think like back in the day... Tom would be a great lover or boyfriend.
So hot.
So hot, so intense, and like ready to treat you like a fucking queen. Pre-Katie Holmes, like Scientology recruited relationship, but just like...
I wonder if Nicole
caught
him
right at the good, right at the good spot.
Think she ever thinks about how they were?
Probably. She's had distance from it now, and like the divorce went through, and like distance creates a lot of like reflection. And I think in quiet moments when the girls are asleep and
Keith is
snoring, she thinks about Tom and how Tom never snored.
No, Tom slept in like a coffin. Tom slept in a sarcophagus. That's why he didn't snore.
He stopped breathing altogether and died every night, only to rise from the dead every morning.
Totally.
A miracle. Yeah. And she reflects on that miracle and thinks, wow, that truly was pretty crazy.
There was a brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa...
Seth says that his bucket list sex... moment with Meredith would be to have sex with ski goggles on. Oof.
Not for me.
Like, okay, sure.
Skiers. Ski life.
Like, ski horniness seems, it's like cheesy horniness to me.
Same. Also, the last thing I want to do when I'm skiing is fuck. I'm sweaty.
I'm trying not to die. Trying not to die out here on these slopes.
Lisa complains to her husband about Whitney's twerking again.
I love Lisa being truly offended by Whitney's dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly kind of agree with her. Partially because I dislike Whitney so much. And
she's like, it's not her. It's like someone else's husband's party and she's twerking.
I mean, I see where she's coming from.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. Meredith and Lisa have taken a decidedly, like, full denying of what Whitney claims.
Yeah. I like them as a united front being like, we never said that.
Yeah, they're, like, fully, like, I mean, we see in this episode, they're like, we need a new set of friends and we're not speaking to them anymore.
So they're saying that they never said that to Mary, and Mary is saying that they did call her and say that. But this feels like kind of a thing, like previous seasons, Housewives of Beverly Hills, that's such like a thing that we'll never know the truth. And it's also like, so who cares at the end of the day?
I think it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. I think they're probably, it's fair that they probably said like, yeah, we are freaked out by Jen going full She-Hulk in 10 seconds or less, but I don't think they're afraid of Jen.
No, I think
Jen,
Mary,
Jen's not a, she doesn't strike fear into anyone's hearts.
I don't think Mary is maybe the most reliable narrator. I think Mary probably, from what I've,
she hears words and then they warp through the Mary filter and come out of her mouth.
Mary's lone moment is when she's just trying on a belt in front of Sherlinda. What kind of, it's like a
harness, almost
a harness, some really expensive
belt.
Yeah, her room is just, she said she's gonna buy an apartment just for as a closet.
I love that for her. She said every room in her house, even her husband's room, is her own like department store-esque closet.
She said
it seems like there's just more and more clothes every time we see her.
She's like, it's my escape.
I love it. She needs an escape, clearly. I loved also when Jen was like telling Crystal everything that happened, her second assistant, and Crystal like having to pretend like she cares.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Heather's new beauty lab locale with Dre, her business partner.
Here for the beauty lab expanding, reopening. Heather has like an it's all happening moment.
Mm-hmm.
She really sees like her empire taking flight. Unfortunately for her, COVID is deeply on the horizon, ready to just like fuck up her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But I love her positivity in this moment.
Me too.
And like business women talk about being like, it's time to take a salary. Like it's exciting. Like as someone that's like gone through the process of like incorporating and like taking a salary, like it's just like, I was like, Heather and I are one.
Yeah, you felt it.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa and Meredith and their husbands meet for a dinner date. And Meredith, as we said, is like on one.
Back at Toscana, the number one place that I yearn to go to in Utah.
Me too.
Toscana.
Lisa and Meredith and Seth are just kind of like canoodling and being lovey-dovey at the table. I just don't buy it.
No, me neither. I like that Meredith and Lisa are dressed the same.
Yeah. Lisa goes, it's not a surprise that we're wearing the same outfits because we both have great style.
And Meredith's like, we're sisters.
We're like sisters.
We're like sisters at the end of the day.
She goes, Seth and I have something to tell you both. And she tells them that they're getting back together. And Lisa's like, oh my God, that's amazing.
That's amazing. She goes, at the end of that, they like talk about it some more. And then Lisa goes, there is no Seth without Meredith. And there is no Meredith without Seth. And I was like, that's a fucked up thing to say.
Yeah.
But she, like, okay, but no.
She also informs Meredith that she has this new camera system in their home and she's going to like use it to like confirm when they're having fights that that her husband said something.
Smart.
And Meredith goes, that's unhealthy. Which I was like, true.
I love Lisa being like, roll back the footage. We're rolling it back.
Right?
I'm going to see if you said it. And then she finds out that she's right and she goes, that's amazing.
That's amazing that I can
do that. That's amazing that I can do this and prove that you were wrong and I was right. It's incredibly amazing. I'm now just like Googling Toscana because I want to see what it's all about. Cucina Toscana.
Joaquin.
They love like an Italian moment on
they do.
This show. It's looking good. There's gelato, rack of lamb. Ossobuco. Pork tenderloin. It has 4-star rating on Yelp. 376 reviews. It's closed right now, but it'll open at 5:30. If you're in Utah, can you please go to Toscana?
Yeah, let us know how it is.
And let us know how this fucking shit is. It looks so good. It said in 2019, it was one of the top three Italian restaurants in Salt Lake City.
Wow. Don't Salt go Lake now. City's go when it's safe. But tell us.
Finest Italian restaurant for over 10 years. I love for over 10 years. That is a long time in restaurant life.
Yeah, that is.
Wow. Italian food from the chef's kitchen.
Ugh.
We're going to... Okay. 2022... Our tour is announced. We hit Salt Lake City. We sell out a venue. Everyone comes. We celebrate with a delicious meal at Cucina Toscana.
Cucina Toscana.
Then we go to Walter's Osteria.
Hell yeah.
And confront each other over brunch.
Laura and I are going to have a confrontation at Toscana.
Yeah. We're going to have a confrontation at Walter's.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to
make up
take
at
a break and then make up at Toscana. And mm-hmm. we're going to announce that we've made up at Toscana.
And Laura's going to go, we're like sisters.
We're like sisters.
And I'm going to go, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
We're like sisters.
Whitney invites Jen and Heather to go to a spa. And I love a hot... What?
This place looked like it was covered in, like, the fungus and Annihilation.
Yeah, it was super Annihilation vibes. But that's also, like... I love, like, a hot springs moment. Like, a like in the... Carved into the side of the hill. Like, I went one time. I went one time to the Sierra Mountains and, like, went camping up there with a guy I was seeing. And there were all these hot natural hot springs. You'd have to, like, go climb up into a hill. And then there was, like, a tub kind of like that. And it was, like, very remote. But it is kind of fungus vibes. Because it's all sulfury, but it's, like, amazing.
Yeah, it looked really relaxing.
The best. But I can understand, it's not glam. Like, it's, it's very, like, Deliverance spa.
It kind of looked like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, compound.
It is, yeah.
Like, Leatherface is there.
It's also, like, sometimes it's, like, too sulfury. Like, I don't like, I don't want to smell, like, the sulfur. No. I like maybe a hint of it to know that I'm, like...
Hint of outdoors while being outdoors, but I don't want to actually
feel
like...
Yeah, but I don't want to, like, sit in a sulfur mud puddle.
Yeah.
Like, I like a bath or some sort of thing to actually, like, sit in.
Whitney was trolling Jen.
She was. This is also, like, classic Whitney being like, I thought it would be nice. And then, like, she knows exactly what she's doing.
Totally.
Whitney has machination.
She's total machinations. She's, she's scheming... Wheeling and dealing.
Under the guise of, like, who, me? And I hate when people do that.
Who, me?
Who, me? And that is why I was surprised to find out that...
And that is
she
why...
She did that again in this moment. She said that exact same sentence again.
You cut to Jen on her way there, and Jen's like, what the fuck is this place? Jen's like, God damn it, this fucking shithole place I'm going to. She's driving out with her team. She's like, fucking hate this shit. Like, she's so mad. And I'm like, I kind of don't blame her.
I'm fully team Jen after this. I was like, I could actually, like, I'm not darked out by, I've actually never been darked out by Jen. I just was, like, curious about, like, the financial thing. But now I'm like, team Jen and Sharif. I'm here for Jen's Hulk moments. She's honest about her anger, and I get it. Like, if I were her, I'd be fucking pissed too.
Her moment with Sharif was kind of tender and beautiful.
It was very beautiful. This moment, I love, she's just, like, not pleased.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to go to this fucking place 3 hours away from my house. This shithole.
She drives up in her Porsche, and she goes, this place looks like the movie set of Saw.
That was funny.
And she brings a fly swatter. I love she gets out of her car just holding a fly swatter, like, and brings it into the place.
Hey,
I was like,
ready.
Go off. Like, we all need to have, like, our fly swatters at the ready.
Seriously. Jen is not happy, and Whitney and Heather are, like, kind of laughing because they know that she's clearly not happy.
Yeah, Whitney's so smug, and they, like, get in these tubs, and Jen is, like, comes out in, like, a Versace bathing suit and a fur and Louis Vuitton slides, and she's like, I'm not letting my feet touch the bottom of this tub, and then just, like, sits in there, and it's like, truly, I believe that she's pissed at Whitney, pissed at Heather, and really pissed at the entire production team,
yeah,
all the way up to Chain, to, like, the heads of Bravo and Andy Cohen in this moment are all on Jen's, like, shit list.
In this moment, Jen has never been more angry. She's like, I'm in a dirty tub with fungus on it, like, bubbling in sulfur with my flip-flops on and my, like, $5,000 Versace bikini
bangles, yeah, and like, I'm a Louis Vuitton, like, bangle. I was like, don't dip the bangle in the water. Like,
she's a little, she's a little bag with her, like a toiletry bag.
Yeah, and just being like sitting there, like not relaxing at all, just like sitting with her knees, like tucked up.
They're on like a cold crater.
Yeah, waiting for like something to happen. And Whitney gives the most half-ass apology, a take-no-accountability apology.
Mm. Heather tries to take all the blame.
Yeah, which I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's you what weren't involved. Yeah,
she needs Coda. She needs Al-Anon.
And then Whitney goes, I was really surprised to learn some of our friends aren't honest with you. And I was like, Whitney, shut the fuck up. Learn something else to say.
It was... Definitely, like, Heather's, like, codependence with both of them was just like breaking in this moment, and she had achieved some like black hole time space continuum. She was like, because she's playing both sides, and she's like, and she can't handle it because her like deficiency at like decision making or in terms of like friend relationships is just like she can't handle it.
Mm-mm.
Her ability to be honest is just like, Jen and Whitney start freaking out, or Jen starts freaking out at Whitney. She yells at the production team and splashes water at them.
She splashes water, like wave splashes water, and you hear a producer go, why did you just splash the cameraman? She goes, that's what you get for making me sit in this bath.
That's what you get. And then the whole desert shakes, birds fly out from the trees, snakes come out from the ground, and then she just
goes, boulder like
and just takes a huge clump, like a mound of dirt, and just and throws it and knocks over the spa house with all the shops and the cashier woman. They all get buried in a mound of dirt, and then she just takes the crater behind the bath and just goes just picks up the rock, hurls it into the sky, and it becomes a new moon. And then she takes Whitney out from her bathtub.
It becomes an asteroid that flies.
She throws it into space, and it becomes an asteroid that hits an alien planet, destroys a civilization. An entire
and starts,
species.
Starts like intergalactic war. I just love how quick to anger she is, and that she'll take it out on anyone.
So mad.
No one is safe. Producers.
No, no one's safe.
That's what you get! That's what you get for bringing me out of Mazaka! For making me sit in this bath!
And she like gets up and runs off.
She like runs into the desert.
My fucking queen. Just was like a done. And it cuts you
she
to the whole crew just standing there. Like she, seven people standing there that are filming them.
She rodeo runs into the desert. She runs all across the earth in like 30 seconds.
She runs around the entire world.
And she leaves a trail of devastation.
Yeah.
Wayne and Heather are like, wow, that was interesting. And then,
she's like Sonic the Hedgehog, runs as fast as she can around the world once, and then finally has cooled off.
And she gets back and she like has chilled out, and Heather and Jen have a talk too, and Heather is honest, and she's like, look, I feel like I can't always be honest with you about how like I feel and when things happen and like how I feel about like the way I'm reacting to you, because I'm more worried about losing our friendship than me being honest.
Yeah.
Which
she got
real.
Vulnerable in that situation. I appreciated it.
And she kind of tells her how she feels about like, she's like, I feel like I'm like a really good friend to you, and I feel like you don't always like honor that. And Jen hears it.
Mm-hmm.
I think
she does too. I love when Jen goes to Whitney, she goes, roll your eyes and look over there one more time and I'll drown you, bitch.
And Whitney is unfazed.
Whitney is unfazed, and I like want to see Jen try and drown her, or at least like hold her head underwater until she's like gasping for breath.
Whitney doesn't budge. She's like, well, okay, well, like we need to talk this out. Whitney's like,
I'm like,
I just
Whitney's
need to be
out.
Honest. But she goes, look at me again, roll your eyes at me again, and I'll fucking drown you, bitch. She does another lap around the earth to cool down once again.
Also, the water glug glug glugging in the background really like put me in a weird state. I just kept hearing like the glug glugs of the like hot springs, and I was just like, what is happening?
And later Whitney comes and joins Jen in her bathtub, and Jen clearly does not want her there, and I was like,
no,
I would get in the bathtub with a woman who just threatened to drown me.
No, I'm like, Whitney, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, Jen's
are
like,
they even naturally friends, or Jen was more friends with Heather, right?
Yeah, and then Whitney's just her cousin. Yeah, have Jen's
has,
like, get away from me.
Little cousin energy.
It's like in the scene in Bridesmaids when Melissa McCarthy. Someone comes into the bathroom while Wendy McClendon is puking and she goes, get away from me. Get away from me.
Get away from me.
And then we cut to Meredith.
A really
and,
random. Oh.
Well, Meredith and Lisa are having like a women's lunch sponsored by her tequila.
Yeah.
Lisa's tequila. And this is a sound that you, this is a sound bite from that.
I'm really excited to see what you chose to pair with the tequila.
I wrote that down too.
I'm really
Lisa
excited.
Was on her that's so amazing tip this entire scene.
They had like a women in business luncheon in this like tent that's being
in a
catered.
A blue sky yurt,
and Lisa's hosting it, and it's all these women entrepreneurs and business owners in the area who are women, and they're all like blonde.
And a woman named Angie Harrington, who's a fashion blogger.
They all look exactly alike, and they're all blonde.
It was very Stepford vibes with Lisa at the helm being like, that's amazing. I have a very VIP guest list. Feels good to have VIPs on my guest list.
Meredith go, and they both go, this is the kind of ilk that I want to be around. I was like, oh, they're like saying, I'm they're like, basically okay. saying like, this is their replacement.
Yeah, they're like pitching to Bravo that they hang with these women instead of the women that they cast on the show.
Instead of She-Hulk. And then Jen and Sharif have like a really vulnerable conversation.
Oh my God. Angie Harrington, just PS, in her bio on Instagram, she says boy mom.
No.
She's a boy mom. Yeah.
That should have been her like credit,
her cry on.
Yeah. Boy mom.
She is a bulldog. I love that.
I'm gonna put that in my Twitter bio.
Do it.
Boy mom.
Wait, I need to send you this photo. Hang on. Her bulldog makes a lot of appearances in her Instagram, which I love because I'm obsessed with bulldogs. But she has one photo with her bulldog where she's making like she's going to pet it, but she's not really touching it.
Oh.
And I love like this no touch.
Did you text moment. It?
I'm going to text it to you right now.
Oh. Oh, wait. This is the, this person I sent you that, this is the woman I sent you who was wearing those red pants.
She's oh, incredible.
She's in QAnon with Sarah.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. This I just remembered that. So Angie, what's her name? Angie Harrington. She's a QAnon.
Oh my God, and love.
Yeah, so she was may or may not have been at the coup as well. So maybe that's probably why she wasn't on the show, because she's fucking insane.
Oh, she has a transgender child.
Oh.
I love this convergence of potentially QAnon, but also like trans rights. Oh my God. Also, like a bulldog. Okay. This is one cutie that I can get behind. I just had one sound bite that I went.
Soundboit.
I have one soundboit that I wanted to share from Lisa's luncheon, where she goes, we should all toast to being amazing moms, amazing businesswomen, and amazing friends.
Put that on my tombstone.
So amazing.
Amazing.
On her tombstone, it's going to say, here lies Lisa Barlow. Life is amazing.
Life was amazing.
Life was amazing.
It was.
It really was for her. Like, literally everything amazes her.
Lisa's in permanent wonder.
She's literally in awe of just life.
To be in awe.
Yeah. We love to see it. Then Jen and Sharif have their talk.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's like, I have a lot of, she's really honest. She's like, I think a lot of my behavior is stemming from my inability to like process my anger at you.
Totes.
Because he missed being there for her dad's passing and his funeral because he was working. And he owns up to it. He doesn't get defensive. He's like, I hear you, and I need to work on that. And it felt a little like Coach Shaw, like him being like, you know, like this advice giver, like life coach kind of person.
Yeah, like
but
the
it
good
also
guy.
But it felt genuine, I think.
Yeah. Maybe. I love seeing them talk it out in like a productive, what seemed like a productive way. And I really felt for Jen in that moment and understood her better.
I felt a lot of empathy for Jen in this moment of like feeling shame from something, the way you behaved when you were drunk and like feeling really alone. She's probably felt really alone the last couple of days. And I felt for her. I felt like I could feel her like pain and like alienation.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, like, yes, it's on you the way you behave, but knowing that, like, some of it is stemming from, like, feeling legitimate hurt by someone that you love.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I don't know.
I wrote just, I love Jen. I'm like, so team Jen. Want to see more of her. Everything she does is amazing. And... I hope that she continues to Hulk on people.
Me too.
But that it doesn't affect her marriage negatively, because yeah. I love Sharif too. And I love their love.
I do too. I want this season to be fucking better.
I want it to be over. I'm like, you could just do the finale next week and call it a day.
Same.
Yeah.
But we're going to
Real Housewives of Flop City.
Real Housewives of Flop-taw.
A flop-taw city. Flop Lake City.
Can we change it to Salty Flop Lake Queens?
Yeah, we're going to change it to Real Housewives of Flop Lake City.
Let's do it.
Floppy Utah Queens. Honestly, like, who... Jen MVP. Like, I like seeing all of them. Like, I think they
all... I like
all,
them. They're just boring.
I like them.
When they're all together,
like,
they're boring.
What? Yeah, why are they...
They have
Why
no
so
chemistry.
Boring?
They don't have a lot of chemistry. I think that's what
Maybe
comes.
It's because they just don't know each other at
yeah.
all. I, like, Jen clearly does not know Meredith and Lisa that well. And
yeah.
they know each other well. But they seem to not know Heather that well. I don't, like, what? I don't get it.
None of them know
readers,
Mary.
Readers, listeners, none of them. They have never even met Mary before this. And they're like, what? But readers, tell me what you think. Like, what is the problem here? Like, I need someone to break it down for me. Are we right? It's just a flop? Or is there, like, something amiss?
Are we missing
like,
something?
We're not, are we missing something? Did, like, did the show get shot and edited and then re-edited to, like, cut out any sort of contextual things that would make it, like, a great season of Housewives? Is it just bad and that's
are
that
we just,
and we
are
accept
we just
that?
Stupid?
Yeah, are we stupid and the show is actually amazing? Are you having an amazing time?
Yeah, some people are, like, obsessed.
Who's obsessed?
People.
Show thyselves.
Show thyselves.
Show thyself.
Make yourself known. Jen's gonna come through my wall and like kill me.
Yeah, she's gonna splash.
You can follow Lara at Lars Marie for fun things.
Intermittent.
Her Twitter's been good lately, guys. I gotta say,
I got really excited about Twitter like right after the new year and was like, "This is me tweeting up a storm," and then went dark again, but. Maybe, I don't know. I just have such a love-hate with social meds, but I want the follows. So just follow me anyways. But if you really want someone that's active on social media and provides constant lols on a day-to-day basis, I would recommend you smash the follow button on eCario because he is working hard to provide the entertainment that we need.
Oh my God. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just like, yeah, that's all I have. No, but really, follow us.
No, but seriously,
fucking follow. No,
I like it.
You don't have to, but it'd be fun. And you can subscribe to the Patreon.
Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. We do weekly bonus episodes that drop every Saturday, and we do reader mail on them. We talk about other fun, flirty, fabulous topics and share our thoughts and our opinions. It's great space. And there's also tons of premium content, like bonus. I put all the episodes of Pumped Podcast, my first ever foray into podcasting, are on the Patreon, and there's recaps of seasons 1 and 2 of Vanderpump Rules on there with lots of amazing guests.
Love it.
So I would go check that out if I were you. Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
Get into it.
And what else is there to say? I don't know. This has been amazing.
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 Lara, you're amazing. Everyone's amazing. And
we should all toast to being amazing podcasters, amazing listeners with an amazing audience.
And with that, stay safe, wear a mask, and we
bid you farewell.
We bid you adieu.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.